Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin.
Welcome back, friends. I hope that you've been having a delightful summer. I know I have, although I'm ready to get back to the routine of school. Today we have an exciting guest. We have a friend named Jenny from Lazy Budget Travel Tips, or on her website and on Instagram, you can find her at Traveling Franklins. She's going to dig into her summer trip to Spain, which was just fabulous, and tell us all about it. What did you love from this episode, Joanna?
I really loved how she took the time to see, the cities in Spain kind of slowly. They did 4 nights in each city, so it wasn't super like boom, boom, boom. And she really has something unique from each place that she took away from it that she loved. And I also love that she does a lot more than points and miles. She does the really budget way of thinking, least effort, maximum results. So she is all about using her points to get the most expensive thing for free or nearly free, and then being okay budgeting and using cash where it fits. And in this case, it fit perfectly for the hotel stays because they were doing small hotels. She was splitting it with her mom. Makes a lot more sense than trying to find big hotels on points. And I like that. I like that this community is so well-rounded. Like, it doesn't have to be like, I'm trying to just go on free vacation. She was like, oh no, I'd like to save almost $9,000 on our round trip flights for two people. And that's what she did with her points. And I think that's an incredible value and, you know, an experience she would not have otherwise been able to have. So it's a great episode. I cannot wait for everyone to hear it. Anything fun this week going on?
Yes, I'm using some points this week. I am excited.
Yay!
I am cashing them in for some Hyatt hotel stays. I think 5 nights, which is very rare that I stay so long in one place. But we are going, I'm taking my daughter on a really unique experience, and I don't know that we would do it without points and miles, which is why I'm really excited about it. I am taking her to be a little Minnesota Vikings junior cheerleader.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's really fun. We're going to fly using our Southwest Companion Pass. So I got dirt cheap flights up to Minneapolis. Her flight was free because just for the taxes and fees, because she's on my Companion Pass. And then we're staying in a Hyatt hotel for the week because she has 3 practices with the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders. And then at the preseason NFL game in the big Minnesota Vikings stadium, which is just gorgeous, really beautiful stadium, she's going to be down on the field with her Vikings cheerleading uniform and pom-poms and do a little routine. So it's just so exciting. And it's all thanks to points and miles, because if I had to pay a lot of money out of pocket for the flights, for the hotel, and then pay for the camp, they call it a camp, that she's going to be a part of, I just would absolutely not do it.
No. I mean, that sounds very expensive. And what an opportunity this is for her. This is so exciting. And also a really cute little mother-daughter bonding trip. I love this.
I'm so pumped. She is a middle child. And when I tell you she's a middle child, she is a true middle child. And so I am very thankful for this opportunity to just have one-on-one time with her. We're going to watch some K-drama. She's excited about that. Aww. And just spend a lot of time together without her big brother, without her little sister, and focus on spending time with each other. So thank you, Credit Card Points and Miles, for this.
Yes, that is so amazing and so exciting, and really my favorite way to use points and miles is these special memories. All right. Well, speaking of special memories, it's time for you guys to all hear about Jenny's special memories of her trip to Spain with her mother. Let's get into it.
Today on the podcast, we have a new friend, Jenny, who, Joanna, you guys actually met at WITS, right? The Women in Travel Summit.
We sure did. This was one of the first people I met. So like, you know, Raimi brought me as a guest, but I knew nobody. I was so nervous. And literally like day one, it was Raimi and Jenny, and they're like, we're going to go get lunch. And I was like, yeah, I'm coming too. And it just was very, very natural and a lovely fit and really helped break the ice for me. You made this whole weekend because you had already been there like the year before. So like you were like, I was you last year. It's okay. Like you encouraged me to talk to brands and do things that I was really scared to do. So I was like so, so grateful that you were there because I do not think I would have had as good of an experience without you like hand holding me because I was so nervous.
Well, it was someone scary. Did that for me last year. I think I had told you this. Someone had did that for me the year before, and I just felt like I should pay it forward.
Well, you did, and I hope to pay it forward to somebody else next year because it was such a help, and I just loved you so much. And I told Mary Ellen when I got back, I was like, she's got to be on our podcast. She's a Points and Miles girl too. She's got a Facebook group. And so we made it happen. I feel like it took a while, but we did. We're here now.
Doesn't matter. We made it happen.
We sure did.
So, Jenny, your Instagram account is at the Traveling Franklins, and you guys go on all kinds of cool adventures. And today, we're ultimately going to be digging into a recent trip that you had to Spain. But before we dig into that, tell the listeners a little bit about your background and how you got into points and miles.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited. So my Instagram is at Traveling Franklins.
No,
there
isn't
a the.
Oh, probably my bad.
Probably should have a the.
Thank you. Thank you.
But if you're searching, you won't find me. You may find
good
something.
To know. We'll make sure it's tagged correctly in the show notes.
So actually, I started my career in the hospitality industry. So I worked for hotels for many, many years, working for hotel chains like Hilton, Marriott, even IHG. And it was really great because I got awesome team member discounts. And when I say awesome, I mean like $35 a night awesome, like really.
Wow. That is awesome.
It was amazing. But the catch was, one, you don't get paid very well working at hotels. Two, you get very little PTO.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to take PTO, it's like you have to fight to take it. Like there's no work-life balance. So
you have all these great access to all these great hotels and you can't even use it.
Yeah, so exactly. That's basically what it was. They were like dangling a carrot and then they're like, nope, sorry. But I mean, I did get to use them, obviously, and it was great, but it just – I wasn't able to travel and I wasn't able to have the work-life balance that I just really felt I needed. I mean, a lot of people just like want to live for work and I wanted to work to live.
Right.
Yeah. So, yes, absolutely.
So I decided that I was going to switch careers. So I got my work-life balance, but I got rid of the team member discounts. So that was sad. And I thought to myself, well, I can't pay full price for travel now. There's got to be something that I can do to help take the sting out of paying full price for travel. So that's how I found points and miles. And I went down that rabbit hole that we all do.
Yes, we do.
And so that's how I found points and miles. But, you know, points and miles, like, I mean, you guys run this podcast, you know, like it can be a lot of work. It's a lot of complications. Like, things get pretty complex. People have all different types of strategies. So for me, I found that the strategy that works for me is earning as many points as possible with as little effort as possible.
Love that. So,
that's, I call it lazy budget travel. I used to call it lazy travel, the H word, but I can't say that H word anymore.
So. Yes, we know all about the H word, as our whole podcast had to have a rebrand. So, yes, so, but yeah. I mean, I love lazy budget travel because a lot of people are scared to get into the world because it feels very overwhelming. So the idea that you're just like, here, I'm going to make it as simple as possible for you. And that's it. Don't stress about the rest. Like, I absolutely love that. I love that that's what you do. And you have not only an Instagram, but also a Facebook group, right? Tell everybody a little bit about your Facebook group and what you do in there.
Yeah, it's called Lazy Budget Travel Tips. And in there, I give all of my tips about earning as many points as possible with as little effort as possible. But then I also kind of sprinkle in there like other strategies that don't really have a lot to do with points and miles, because, you know, you can, points and miles can only get you so far, mm-hmm. especially if you're trying to do it the lazy way. So I definitely use it to help supplement my travel costs. I mean, I'm not trying to plan trips for $0 all the time. That's just not realistic for me. So I basically just use it for being able to take and do experiences that they otherwise would never be able to afford.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing for me.
I love that.
We also do like monthly lives in there with a guest, which I'm waiting to get you guys on there.
I know. We've talked about it. We need to do that.
We would love to join.
Yeah. So it's really fun. I've actually had guests every month this year. Wow. And that's all because I met a ton of people at the Travel More conference last November.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been able to have somebody in there every month. So we talk about all different topics. We're actually talking to Amina this month about family travel.
I love Amina.
I know you had her on the podcast.
Yes.
And then I'm talking to Kendall Travels on August. And then in September, I'm going to have Ashley Peterson from Ashley Gets Around.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we love her. And she's the owner of the Travel More conference. So we're going to talk all about that and her business class email list. So
that's awesome.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, we'll be there this year at Travel More. Are you going?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
Okay. Amazing. Awesome. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I'm going to let everybody know that I'm going to put a Travel More link in the show notes because you can still get tickets. And I think from what I've heard about this conference, it's a really good place to not only get started in the points and miles space and to learn a ton, but just to meet people. It's not a travel creator conference like WITS was. It is a points and miles conference. It's for normal people. Okay. So all of you should come. Let's transition a little bit into your trip to Spain. So start at the very beginning. How did you get there? What airline? What points? Business class or regular? Tell us all the stuff.
Yeah. So I am a Chase girly. So I have a ton of Chase Ultima Rewards points. I mean, they're the easiest to earn and the easiest to redeem, in my opinion, especially for, you know, the lazy ones. So basically, I was like, I have all these Chase points. What can I do with them? And I had heard about a sweet spot with Iberia.
Mm-hmm.
And Iberia business class. I was really interested in trying out business class. I'd flown business class before, but I just really wanted to try it out with Iberia. And I saw that they had flights from Miami to Madrid direct. And
awesome.
I could do it for 85,000 points round trip and under $300.
It's amazing.
And the cash price for two people, it was 85,000 round trip for one person. And the cash price for two people was like $8,600. And I'm not inflating that number. That's the round trip price. Just want to point that out.
Yes, because we've had people on the podcast say like that they dislike it when people give you the one-way price and try to make it sound like you're getting more value. And I didn't even know that was a thing that people did. So, I mean, I think it's I think it's fair to say whatever a leg costs if you're comparing one leg at a time. But I love that that is our actual round trip. So, I mean, that's a lot of money. Who is spending almost $9,000 to fly anywhere? Not me.
Yeah. So, yeah. For two people, almost $9,000 to fly business class round trip. That's steep. So the fact that I could do it for $85,000 per person round trip, especially since I went to Paris the year before, one way with 70,000 points, I was like, sign me up. We're going to Spain, I guess. We're going to Spain.
I love letting the points dictate the trip a little bit. Like, where is the best deal? All right, let's go there.
Exactly. Follow the deal, not the destination. I love doing that so much.
Absolutely. And I feel like I see flights to Madrid all the time that are really good business class redemption. So it's on my list just for that reason alone. But I'm hoping we'll learn some things about it now that we've got you on. Mary Ellen was there for like 5 minutes a couple weeks ago because she had a layover and they actually left to go explore a little bit. And I think Mary Ellen, you also just flew Iberia business.
Yeah. So we flew Iberia business class from Zurich back to the East Coast. We flew out of IAD, which is Dulles in the Washington, D.C. area. So our layover was Madrid, which we were kind of excited about because it gave us the opportunity to see a different airport. We really wanted to go to a flagship lounge. So flying business class with Iberia, we got to go to the Iberia Premium Lounge in Madrid. And I was super impressed. I want to hear your take on it, but I was very impressed with the Madrid airport and how they have a completely separate line for VIP business class travelers. So you don't even have to go through security with the fast track? Everyone else. Yeah, the fast track.
That is so cool.
Love the fast track.
What was your impression of the lounge?
Oh, I thought the lounge was fabulous. Because, you know, I have priority pass. And so I stay in lounges pretty often, and it's hit or miss. And this business class lounge was fabulous. It was huge. They had everything that you could imagine. And the food was actually good.
We thought it was really good.
Yeah.
That does not always happen.
No, it does not. So it was definitely worth it. I was going to say worth the price, but we didn't really pay that much for it. So
that's awesome. It was just a good experience. I feel like I jumped ahead a little bit. Is there anything that stands out about the business class experience on the plane? What did you like about it versus whoever you flew the last time, you did business class flights?
Yeah. So we flew, Air France when we went to Paris.
Okay.
And I would say, I mean, when I was doing some research about Iberia business class, I heard some mixed reviews. And Mary Ellen, I don't know if you saw the same thing where people are like, oh, it's okay. It's not like the best business class. But I mean, I only had one other business class really to compare it to. And I really thought that it was on par with Air France, like the food, the comfortability, the service. I thought it was on par. What did you think, Mary Ellen?
It's funny because I flew Air France the first leg and Iberia the second leg. So I had both business class experiences very close to one another. So it was pretty easy to compare and contrast. In the end, I paid less for the Iberia one. So it was a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. I do think the Air France service was more polished. Overall, mm-hmm. I felt like it was a little more polished and I liked my meal a little better on Air France, but overall, they were comparable. They both had about the same space in my seat that we chose to sit in a window seat for Air France. And this is kind of hot off the press too. Air France, when you book with points, up until now, new reports are coming out that they have just changed it. You could choose your flight. So I did all kinds of research on YouTube for the kind of airplane that we were going to be on to make sure that I chose exactly what seat we wanted. Because some configurations, the seats face different directions and you want to choose one might be better than the other. So I was very specific with what I chose. And now I've heard that Air France has just changed it and you no longer can choose when you're booking on points. You may not be able to choose what business class seat you get, which is kind of a bummer.
They're just going to put you somewhere?
They just will choose your seat for you, or maybe you can pay more. I don't know. But that to me is a bummer and a real downfall. I get not downfall, but a really point against if we're comparing and contrasting and one airline lets you pick and one doesn't. I prefer to be able to pick my seat. On Iberia, we chose not to be by the windows. My husband and I were going on an anniversary trip, so we decided, all right, for the way back, we're going to choose the middle seats just because you're together.
Because we like each other.
Because we like each other. On the way there, it was fun, but it was like we were completely independent of each other, right? We were in our own little area. So we decided, all right, this time on Iberia, we're going to put the thing, pull up a partition or put it down. And we put it down so that it was actually like we were flying together. But that's pretty long-winded for comparing the two. Overall, I do think I preferred Air France, but not enough to, change my mind. Whichever one has the better deal, I'm taking. Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing here is that they're so similar that you'd probably opt for the lower price point over picking one or the other because of the amenities. So I think that sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, for the price, I definitely would pick Iberia again if I had the choice. It just wasn't, from what I remember from Air France, it just wasn't different. I did think that the seats on Iberia were a lot more comfy than the seats on Air France. In my opinion,
I liked the bedding better on Iberia. Yeah. They gave you that pad that you could put down under you.
Ooh. I was definitely more comfortable from what I can remember, even though I didn't sleep at all. I never sleep on the overnight flights. Got that lie-flat seat and I never fall asleep. I can't. My brain just keeps going like, what am I going to do when I get there? Or there's so much noise on this plane.
I would be like that too. I would have to have Benadryl, eye mask, earplugs, like noise-canceling headphones.
I mean,
like,
and you have it all when you're in business class and I still can't fall asleep.
Oh, no, it's the whole point. You're supposed to be able to arrive rested.
Yeah, no, this doesn't happen for me. I hope it happens for everybody else.
Well, at least your mind is racing in comfort.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so you arrive in Madrid. Were you in Madrid your whole trip, or did you go to different cities while you were there?
Yeah. So when we were in Spain, we actually went to three cities. We spent 4 nights total in each city. So we started in Madrid for 2 nights. Then we spent 4 nights in Seville. And then we spent 4 nights in Barcelona. And then we spent 2 nights in Madrid. And we took a train from Madrid to Seville. And then we flew from Seville to Barcelona. And then from Barcelona, we took to Madrid, we took a train. It was a lot of coordinating. I printed out all of my confirmations and I posted it on Instagram and was like, anyone else like have this thick of confirmations for their trip? No, just me.
Oh my gosh. That would be so stressful. I would be like, what if something's wrong? What if something's not on time? What if I looked at the date wrong?
I have so much anxiety that I check things over and over and over again a million times. And for this trip, it was the longest we had taken a trip to Europe ever. Mm-hmm. So, and we had so many different moving parts with the trains and the planes and the metros and the tours and the hotels that I just printed it all, put it in a folder and brought it with me. And I even put it in order of every place we were going to. So when we got into the taxi to the hotel, I just gave them the paper, my printed out, and was like, this is the address.
That's actually perfect.
Yeah. So we did. We went to three cities, 4 nights total in each.
Okay. So you started in Madrid. How much of the hotel time in all of these cities was on points? Was any of it on cash? Start us in Madrid and then maybe walk us through accommodations in all the cities and like where you chose to, write things off with points or where you chose to splurge with the cash.
Yeah. So we mostly used cash for this trip. Just because, like I said earlier, when I think about what am I going to use my points for, it's usually like, where am I going to save the most money? And since we're doing business class, it was definitely going to be, we're going to save the most money on the business class seats. So we use the majority of our points for that. Mm-hmm. And since I was splitting the hotel, because I went with my mom this time, not with my husband, we're splitting the hotels. So it kind of made more sense to do cash. And what I found as well, especially in Europe, and I haven't been everywhere in Europe, but what I found is that you can find pretty cheap hotels and really central areas if you're looking at the local hotel chains. And I know we talk about Hilton, Marriott, IHG. I love those. But they sometimes are more expensive and sometimes not as nice as the local hotel chains. So in Madrid, actually, the first two nights we stayed there, the first hotel, it was probably the most expensive one. And it had a 4-star rating on Google. But it was like straight out of the 70s.
We didn't even
have key cards. And I mean, when I say straight out of the 70s, we walk into the room and I was like, oh my gosh, have I gone back in time? The people were really nice. So we didn't have any issues. It was just the accommodations weren't that great. I think we paid like 150 euros a night to stay there. And it was in the Plaza de Hispania. So it was like close to a ton of things. It was a perfect location. So I actually freaked out and was like, is this how it's going to be for the rest of the trip?
Oh, no.
But spoiler alert, it wasn't.
Okay. That's good. No shag carpet.
No, no, no. I would say a tip would be careful when you're looking on Google and looking at the Google reviews and the stars, especially for the hotels in Spain for some reason. It had a 4-star rating on Google, but it was definitely not any nicer than the other hotels we stayed at. And those were like three stars and cheaper.
Actually, interesting.
The hotel we stayed in Seville was beautiful. The chain was Petit Palace. It was so beautiful. The room was teeny though, but the bathroom was huge. It was in a great location and we paid less in cash and it had like a lower star rating for some reason.
So interesting.
You can't go by the Google reviews all the time. And I really rely on that. You have to kind of like dig in a little bit. But we definitely saved. If you're paying with cash, we saved a lot of money by staying at local hotel chains. I mean, even when you look at the travel portal, it's always, for some reason, for me, when I look, it's always more expensive on the travel portal than if you pay cash directly with the local hotel chain. So, yeah. I mean, you get 5 times on the Chase portal and like maybe I'll use my $50 credit for the Chase Sapphire Preferred. But even then, it's only going to save me a few bucks. I'd rather just book direct. I don't know if that's the hotel person in me or what. I just love to book direct.
It feels like things can go wrong for some reason when you're not booking direct. It definitely is a concern or an anxiety point for me for sure. Yeah.
And I won't do non-refundable. I just need my flexibility. Mm-hmm. So I always look for the refundable rates.
Yes.
And they're always way more expensive on the portal compared to if you get the refundable rate online with the local hotel chain.
Yeah.
And then in Barcelona, we stayed at another local hotel chain. And we paid around 140 euros a night. And that was an amazing location right next to the Gothic Quarter, next to so many things. And we did public transportation our entire trip. We only used taxis for like going to the hotel from the airport or to the train station. We used the metro system and the bus system. So, you know, if I was going to stay at like a Hilton or a Marriott or even a Hyatt, I would stay out a little further and have to pay more for transportation in and out and mm-hmm. spend more time. And I would just rather pay a little more, stay really close to the things I want to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the end, that's going to be a lot better for us. And
absolutely.
You know?
And when you're splitting it with someone as well, right. I mean, it's really affordable.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you find, are there any helpful things for transportation in Spain? Helpful apps or things that made it easier? I found my husband and I just got back from Switzerland. They have a fantastic app that just pulls up all the train timetables, makes it very simple. Does Spain have any kind of resources like that that people definitely need to have if they are visiting?
Yeah. So before I answer the question about the transportation, I just wanted to say as well that, and then when we went from Barcelona to back to Madrid for the last two nights of the trip, we did use points and cash to stay at the Hyatt Centric Madrid.
Oh, okay.
So I laugh because I'm like, so we started really low in the beginning and then we progressively went higher and higher.
Stayed at a really nice, a grand finale to your trip.
The grand finale was definitely the Hyatt Centric and it was pretty expensive. So I had to use points and cash to be able to keep it within our budget because we did like an average of $150 a night or 150 euros, one of those a night for the entire trip. So I used like 20,000 points plus cash to stay at the Hyatt Centric Madrid. And that's like 5-star on Gran Via.
Oh,
amazing
wow.
Location. Definitely recommend. And I mean, yeah, it wasn't the best points valuation, but who cares?
Who cares? It who sounds cares? Beautiful. And oh, even yeah. on my brief few hours that I've spent in Madrid, I can see where there are some stunning areas where the architecture is so beautiful. And if you've got a prime location, a beautiful Hyatt hotel, that sounds fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And I love walking around Europe. And I mean, in Spain, especially, it was just so beautiful and just so fun to be able to walk everywhere. So being in a nice central location is definitely high priority for us. And we make it work with several things and using points to supplement what's going to cost us the most. So it works out. But when it comes to transportation, so I did zero research before coming to Spain. My mom watched YouTube videos, read books, studied maps. I did not.
I love it.
I booked the stuff. She like studies the location. But for some reason, I ended up being the navigator, the person who did zero research. And do you know what I used? I used Google Maps and City Mapper.
Oh, City Mapper. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and I will say that my mom is fluent in Spanish and I speak a good amount of Spanish. We're Puerto Rican. But I don't think that really helped us that much as far as like getting around. I mean, I looked at everything in English. I mean, yeah, I understood the signs maybe compared to other people, but really it was looking it up on Google Maps, following the instructions, like which metro station, which bus number, and then comparing it to City Mapper. And sometimes City Mapper would give me something a little different than Google Maps, and then I would just make an executive decision. It just depended on where we were and which station and like if we wanted a specific station to be closer to something else. But I found overall that using a combination of Google Maps and City Mapper, I mean, we didn't get lost once.
Oh, good.
We found it really easy. I mean, and like I said, we used the metro system. We took the bus from in Barcelona, we took the bus from like central down to the Barceloneta beach. And that was really easy. So, and the fact that we didn't get lost once, I mean, that's pretty amazing for us.
That's wonderful because I was there for a couple hours and we got to one thing that we found was very confusing. When we left the airport, we were on the train and that we were just going into the city, but then you had to change from the metro to this other train that was also within the city, but not affiliated with the metro. It was a little confused. We thought we bought tickets that would work for all the metro in the city, but one, I guess, was more of a regional. I don't know if it's more of like a commuter train. And so the train tickets were different. So that was a little tricky for us without having done extensive research like we normally like to do. This was our spontaneous trip into the city. So we found that a little bit tricky.
That I can understand too, because the airport is a bit far from like central Madrid, from what I remember. And we had to take taxis because with my mom, she cannot be taking luggage through metros and on and off buses. So when we were going to the train station or to the airports or coming to the hotel from one of those, we always took a taxi. So I didn't have to experience taking the metro from the airport into the city. So I could see that though, because a lot of times if it's a little further out, it's a different line and then you have to do a connection. Or like you said, it could be a different company that actually takes you to the commuter metro. So I could see why that would be confusing. But if you're already in central Madrid, the metro system is so easy.
Yeah, yeah. We've got it figured out, but it took us a step or two more than we thought.
That would have stressed me out.
Especially knowing you have to be back to the airport for a connection. I would have been like, oh, yeah, not gonna work. Let's just turn around. Let's turn around right now.
We cannot wait for you to hear the rest of today's episode. But before we dive back in, we want to invite you to connect with us on Instagram. If you're enjoying the insights and travel tips we share here on the podcast, here's how you can stay even more connected with us.
First of all, follow us on our personal Instagram accounts for a glimpse into our daily lives and additional travel adventures. You can find Mary Ellen over at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4, and you can find me, Joe, at Points to Wonderland. Give us a follow and reach out to say hello and let us know if you found us from the podcast.
And of course, for all things podcast related, head over to our dedicated Instagram page at Wonderland on Points Podcast to stay updated on upcoming episodes, behind the scenes moments, and maybe even some exclusive content. Plus, if you're a visual learner, check out our YouTube channel with the same name. We plan on launching full video episodes in the near future, and we would love for you all to join us over there.
Your support on these platforms means the absolute world to us, and it's a fantastic way to be part of the growing Wonderland on Points community. So grab your phone, hit that follow button, and let's learn how to travel on points together. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, and we're doing a long layover. We're actually doing the Christmas markets this year. We're doing a long layover in Amsterdam because I was like, we have to connect in Amsterdam anyways, and I want to see Amsterdam. So I intentionally picked a really long layover. So I hope I'll do a little bit more research to make sure
that sounds so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, but magical.
Give us like 3 top must-do activities, like from the 3 cities you went to, what ended up being your very famous activities that if someone goes to Spain, they really should try to do. Don't miss out.
Yeah. So in Madrid, I would definitely say, even if you aren't into art or museums, because I'm not a museum girl, but my mom dragged me to the Museo del Prado, El Prado. And it was fascinating. I mean, the art in there was amazing. Goya was one of the artists that she really wanted to see, and his black paintings were very intriguing and ominous. Like, I like that stuff. So we did a guided tour that I booked on through TripAdvisor or Viator, one of those, and I got cash back on Rakuten. So that was
yay,
nice.
Excellent. Love the stack.
So that I would say must do, you have to do that when you're in Madrid. There's so many things to do, but like if I had to pick one, I would say that. And then in Seville. So I do want to say, so we took the train from Madrid to Seville and that was fabulous and it was super cheap.
Oh, that's awesome. Was it beautiful? Yeah. Is it a beautiful train ride?
The train ride itself, there are some parts that are beautiful and then there are some that are just like meh. But no, it was definitely a nice train ride. It was very cheap. It was like around 3 hours to get from Madrid to Seville. But in Seville, we did a flamenco show and we specifically chose to do it in Seville because my mom had read that that's where it originated. And so you can do the flamenco shows really anywhere in Spain. They have them available, but she just had read that that's where it originated in Andalusia. So it made more sense to see it there. And oh my gosh, it was amazing. I mean, they say that flamenco is more than a dance. It's a feeling and they do not lie.
I love that.
I could feel the emotion. I like I don't know, my whole body went numb. I was like, it was really, really cool. So I would say Seville Flamenco.
Okay.
And then, and I also booked that through TripAdvisor and got cash back on Rakuten.
Amazing. Wonderful.
And then in Barcelona, where we actually flew from Seville to Barcelona and we did Vueling, which is kind of like their like budget airline in Spain. It's actually a partner of Iberia. So you can earn Iberia points.
Interesting.
If you're flying Vueling. Yeah. So
can you book it with Iberia points?
Yeah. You totally can. You can book it through Iberia with Iberia points. Yes.
Wonderful. Perfect. Mm-hmm.
And that was great. It was the airport in Seville was quite large, and we actually had a priority pass lounge, which was really nice. And it was like right across from our gate. So definitely worked out. And then in Barcelona, the Sagrada Familia, which is the famous basilica that's unfinished. It's been, I think they think it's not going to be done for another 30 years or something. It's already been, I don't know, like 100. Don't quote me. But it's so beautiful. It's designed by Anthony Gaudí, and he's a really famous architect for his just really interesting style. And there's so much symbolism, and the church is just beautiful. So I would definitely highly recommend doing that if you're in Barcelona. And we actually had purchased a Go City pass, which I don't know if you've heard of Go City, but I do like to get those like one price attraction passes whenever we go to a city.
Yes.
And in Europe, Go City is pretty big. And then like in the United States, I like City Pass. That's another good one. But Go City, that pass that we bought included a guided tour that we had to book. We had to reserve it, but they gave us instructions. It was really easy. And you can earn cash back on Rakuten through Ghost City as well.
Amazing. I love that even though you were like, this is not going to be an all on points trip. You were like, let's use our points where they make the most sense, where we save the most money. I love that you took like all the opportunities to be earning at, like extra, you know, during the trip on stuff that you're going to spend money on anyways. That's, we love a good stack on Rakuten. Yeah. That's the
love
best.
Love a good stack for sure. And you know, being able to earn and stack, it doesn't make it sting as much that you're paying cash, right?
Right. Yeah. You do the math in your head, but we're getting like $40 back in Rakuten points. So this is great. Yeah. I am curious, being that you're a priority pass holder, and do you have that through Chase Sapphire Reserve, through Amex Platinum, through Venture X? Tell me which way you got your priority pass. And then I'm curious about comparing the priority pass lounges at a lot of US airports are pretty small. You know, I go in there, get some drinks, maybe get a little snack, but it's not the big, nice luxury lounge like people may be thinking. But I have heard that internationally, priority pass lounges are actually quite a bit nicer than the domestic ones. What do you think?
Yeah, so I actually had for many years my priority pass through the Hilton American Express Surpass, which is a fabulous deal. It was $95 a year. And one of the perks was a priority pass, and it was awesome. Then they took it away. So I had to come up with something else. So we, out of all the options, we decided to go with the Venture X, mainly because it was going to make more sense. It was $395 annual fee, but you get the travel credit. So then it's $95. But then on top of that, I was coming up on my renewal for Global Entry. Mm. So picking that card just made a lot of sense because of those reasons. And we needed the priority pass. And I never do this. I really wanted to be able to go to the Capital One Lounge in DFW for Travel More.
Yes. Yes.
So anyway, so for many reasons, we went with the Venture X. but I RIP the Surpass priority pass. But as far as like the lounges domestically versus internationally, I think it really depends on the airport, because I fly out of Miami a lot because I'm in South Florida and it just has the most options, especially for points. And we were able to use our priority pass for Turkish, for the one of the Turkish lounges. Oh. And that one is on par with other like business class level lounges that I've been to. So it really depends on the airport. So if you are flying a lot domestically into smaller airports, then of course the lounge option isn't going to be that great. And if they do have, even if they have a lounge, because most of the time they won't have a lounge available. And then when they do, it's probably not going to be the best compared to the ones internationally, because the ones internationally, those are big airports. Well, and of course they're going to have a lot more options.
For sure. I feel like I always hear people talk about Chicago Priority Pass Lounge and how it's horrible. I feel like I've heard that so many times, that just is a terrible lounge. So in my head, Chicago sounds bigger than Seville, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's just because Seville isn't talked about the same way that a lot of cities in Spain are. So I don't actually know anything about its size. But in my head, like, Chicago should have a really nice, big, fabulous priority pass lounge because it's a huge international airport.
Are you talking about O'Hare or Midway?
I think O'Hare. I think it's O'Hare. Yeah, that's the one people talk about all the time, right? That they hate on the priority pass lounge. Did I just make this up?
Well, no, I was asking, because if it was Midway, it might make more sense that it was a smaller lounge.
It's definitely the big one, which is, I believe, O'Hare. ORD is the code. That would make sense.
That's O'Hare.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's actually funny too, because we are flying out of Paris for back home from the Christmas markets. And you would think out of Charles de Gaulle that there would be a fabulous priority pass lounge. No, doesn't look like it. I think actually Kelsey from Point Sisters, I think I saw a story where she took a picture of it and I didn't realize which airport it was. But when I looked up Charles de Gaulle on priority pass, I saw that picture and I was like, oh no.
Oh no. Darn it.
You're not flying business class. So I was sad. Oh, no. So, I mean, it definitely depends on the airport, right? And I tell people in the Facebook group all the time, because they're like, which credit card should I get for lounge access? And I'm like, okay, but how often are you going to be going to lounges? And also, what airports are you flying to? Because if they don't have great lounges, there's really no point.
Yes.
Yeah, get that credit card that has lounge access, but not because of the lounge access. Make sure that the other benefits are going to be worth it.
Right. I found as a predominantly domestic Southwest flyer, I'm often at smaller airports, or Southwest doesn't fly into the airport that has the nice lounge, such as in Dallas.
We
are so sad about this. We actually have been considering changing airlines to fly to travel more, because we realize that Southwest flies into the Dallas airport that does not have the Capital One lounge. So we were like looking up American Airlines flight. Should we change?
We both got such good deals on our Southwest flights. It's so silly to even be doing this just to try to go to the lounge.
Well, it's so funny that you say that, because I feel the same exact way as you guys usually. But because I don't know ever when I'm going to be going back to Dallas, I'm flying to Dallas to Dallas Love on Southwest, because it was $70.
Yes.
And on the way back, I'm flying out of DFW.
Just so you could go to the lounge?
Just so I could go to the lounge. And it was going to be, because I was like, well, there's a direct flight from DFW into PBI, which is Palm Beach International, which is my home airport. And I'm like, I want to get on that flight, but one way it's like $400. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. But it's on American Airlines. So I literally used points. I transferred to British Airways to book that flight.
That is fabulous. I love that we were of the same line of thought. I mean, we did the same thing. We're like, what if we fly in Southwest, but we fly out with American so that we can go to the lounge? Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah. I mean, I never would have done that. I know that if somebody would have said that to me like years ago, I'd have been like, I would never do that. But you know what? I don't know when I'm going to be in Dallas. We just got the Venture X
Everyone raves about that lounge.
Is it the flagship Venture Lounge too?
I think
like,
so. That yeah.
Was like the first one. I'm like, and you know what?
It's just for fun. It's like going to a restaurant that you've really wanted to go to, mm-hmm. or going to do some other activity or amenity. Like this is our fun. So we want to go to the fun lounge. That's part of the fun for us.
Oh
exactly.
Gosh. But yeah, we'll see if we actually can make it happen. We didn't find any. I feel like the options weren't great in general. Okay. So we haven't switched yet. Well, but now I have a renewed desire to do so.
You're probably feeling a little bit of FOMO.
I am feeling major FOMO, especially because I don't have a Venturex. So I need to be with Mary Ellen in order to take advantage of this. We have to do it together.
Let's circle back to Spain. We got off topic with the Priority Pass lounges. Are there any hidden gems that you could recommend that you discovered during your time there?
I don't know if this is something that you guys would consider a hidden gem, but we really got a kick out of the Cagané store in Barcelona. Do you know about this?
No.
Okay. So apparently in Catalan lore or something, they had a farmer who kind of basically, Cagané means pooper. He pooped on his land and then the harvest was plentiful. So now they have these stores that literally have all of these figurines that are just squatting with a big pile of poo. And when I say a full store, I mean, they have one big statue that is big, like taller than me. I have a picture next to it with a guy squatting with a big pile of poo. And then
do people believe it's like it like brings bounty because of this legend? It's like good luck to have a pooping statue.
Yes. It literally, the translation is the pooper. And he pooped on the land and then the land was bountiful. So now it is this big, huge thing in Catalan culture. And the wall, it's just about the pooper. All different figurines. I mean, this one's Deadpool. I got this for my husband. But I mean, there's all different ones. Like if you think there's Lady Gaga, I don't know if there's a Taylor Swift one, but there probably is.
I do not understand.
Oh, and you walk into the store and they give you the paper and they're like, do you know the story? And it's in like 50 different languages and it explains the story. And we went to this cute little Christmas shop and they had ornaments.
Oh my gosh.
So I had to get an ornament for my travel tree.
Absolutely, you have to.
Obviously, because that is unforgettable.
I remember, so I was sending pictures to my brother and sister-in-law, and I was like, look for our travel tree. And he goes, man, you guys are really into this pooper statue.
This is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. If we go in Barcelona, is the pooper store?
Yes, it's the Catalan thing. So it's got to be all around Catalonia, which actually is really interesting. So out of the three places, I loved Madrid, Seville. I loved them all. But I really found Barcelona to be the most interesting just because, you know, they speak Catalan. And Castellano, which is like their Spanish, is what they call. But Catalan is the primary language. So we were used to hearing Spanish the entire trip. And then you get there and it's all Catalan. Like we would speak to people in Spanish and then they would speak back to us in Catalan. And then we'd look at them like, that's not Spanish. And they're like, oh, sorry. And they can just like switch back and forth. It was really kind of intriguing and like amazing how quick they can go back and forth. And whenever you see signs, it's Catalan first, Spanish, and then sometimes English. But they call it Castellano, I think.
That's so funny. My nephew said the same thing. He just got back from Spain. He went in end of May, early June, and he was surprised. He's been studying Spanish for many years, so he wanted to go to Spain and have this pilgrimage there. But he was very surprised that outside of Madrid, he went to San Sebastian, which he loved. He went to several places in Spain and was shocked by how quickly it went from Spanish that he knew to these different, you know, small regional different languages. Dialects. Yeah, mm-hmm. Different dialects.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. And the Roman influence, you can see it. There's Roman influence, obviously, like, everywhere, but I felt like in Barcelona you could see it the most. Like you walk through Roman ruins, like just
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's
very
that's so cool.
I love
so
that. Kind
I
of
just
stuff.
Found it super intriguing. I wanted to stay longer, learn more. And then when I got home, I felt so terrible because like my 23andMe, I have like all Iberia Peninsula, like all, like, and most of it is Andalusia. And I did zero research. My mom is the one that did all the research. So I came home and just went into, I was like, I need to learn about my ancestor.
Oh my gosh. I went down an ancestry rabbit hole recently too. But after you visited a place, I think it makes mm-hmm. it feel so much more real. Now you're going to want to go back and see it again with like all that new information in your head.
Yeah. And I want to take my husband. I mean, I took my husband to Puerto Rico last year for Christmas. We did like a family trip and that was really cool. And now I want to take him to Spain just to kind of like walk through it with him. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's so
neat.
I love
my family. My kids are Puerto Ricans. That's what I call them. My husband is half Puerto Rican. So we did the same thing. We went to Puerto Rico in the last year because they wanted to connect with that part of their heritage. But I guess really, if we go back beyond Puerto Rico, maybe we should look into Spain as well. We've never done the ancestry things. We just know that, you know, my husband's family is from Puerto Rico, but we've never done official 23andMe kind of ancestry searching. Yeah. So
it's so fun to do it just to kind of see. And I have a lot of like sub-Saharan Africa. So I really wanted to, like, since we were in Seville, it would have been so easy to go down into Morocco, but we just didn't have the time. And I really wanted to explore Spain a little bit more. But it's super fascinating and fun just to kind of see, like, where did your ancestors most likely come from? And I think about it too, like walking in Seville and I'm like, oh, were my ancestors here? I don't know. Is that lame?
No. I'm totally like that too. I also get really weird, like when I'm in the ocean, I'm just like, think of all the people and all the like different times and all the history that this water has touched.
Yes,
I get real nerdy about it. So I understand. Okay, so as we are wrapping up here, leave us with like your best tips or maybe a mistake that you made that you don't think someone else should repeat. Give us like a little gem that people can use as they're planning their own trip to Spain.
Well, definitely don't trust the Google stars for the hotels. Yes. Don't do that. Do a little bit more research. But also, one big thing that we kind of messed up on was the VAT refund situation. Oh. So my mom wanted to go to this famous shop for shawls, handmade shawls and handmade fans in Madrid, in Puerta del Sol. And she spent like over 300 euros there. And we forgot to ask if they do the VAT refund.
Oh, no.
And then we left and gallivanted around Spain and then came back and we didn't have time to go back to the store to see if they would be able to do it. But she ended up buying shoes at Camper, which is a Spanish shoe store, like sneakers and stuff. And she spent a good amount of money there. So we were able to do it there and able to go through the whole process of getting the refund back. Which was very simple. So that was nice. But, you know, don't forget about the VAT refund. Like,
explain that to anyone who's never heard of it.
Yeah. So for the European countries, they do charge like an extra tax, which is what they call VAT. They do it for basically everything. But since you're not a European citizen, you are eligible to get a refund. But not all stores participate in this program. And the way that it works is that if they do participate, it's usually for a certain amount. So if you're spending a lot of money, like a lot of people like to go get like designer handbags and stuff when they're abroad. So you definitely want to ask there, but you have to ask when you're there making the purchase, and they need your passport and all this other information. It's not like you have your receipt, you forget to do it, you're somewhere else, and you can then do the process. They have to start it in the store. And then they usually will use a third party to process the refund. We used, I think it was called Global Blue, and they have an app. It's very simple. The store, basically, they fill out all the information. It shows up in the app. And then when you go to the airport, you then go to a machine, you scan your receipt. It tells you whether you're good to go or if you have to go to customs. We were buying clothes and like sneakers, so we were good to go. Mm-hmm. But if you were going to be buying electronics, like laptops, cell phones, stuff like that, they're probably going to have you go to customs. So definitely make sure that you have enough time when you get to the airport to do that, just in case you have to go to customs. But if you end up not, you just walk up to this machine. I mean, they have a ton of them at the airport, but at least they did at the Madrid airport. And you just go scan your receipt and they either give you the green check mark or they tell you to go to customs, and that was it.
Wow.
So
that's a great tip, though.
Yeah, you can save a good amount of money if you get that refund. I mean, you're not going to save like half the price. And
right.
If you aren't spending a ton of money, like I think for the sneakers, she ended up saving $30. And yeah. She definitely spent like around like 150 euros, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's significant. That's a significant percentage. So yeah. I think take into consideration whether or not it's worth it for the work and the amount of money you get back, and then decide if you want to proceed with that. But it's very, very important to keep in mind, especially on like a 300 euro purchase. You certainly.
Yeah. And it isn't painful. Hard to ask. They may not participate in the program, mm-hmm. but you never know unless you ask. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's excellent. Right. Yes, that is very true. Before you go, tell us where everybody can find you, blog, Facebook, Instagram, and give us a shout out for another creator. It can be Points of Miles. It can be travel. Anyone that you think that our listeners should also follow.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Traveling Franklins. I also have a blog. It's travelingfranklins.com. It's all about quality travel on the budget with points and miles and also other strategies. And then I would love for everybody to join the Facebook group, Lazy Budget Travel Tips. We have so much fun in there. And I would love to have you guys as a guest in the Facebook group as well. So you can find me there. And then for a creator, she's not Points of Miles, but my girl Taima, she is at Poor in a Private Plane. Joanna, I don't know if you met her at
WIT. We did. We spent a fair amount of the last little bit of time together. It was so much fun. She is a delight.
Oh, she is the best, really. And I love her handle, Poor in a Private Plane, because although she doesn't talk about Points of Miles, she does talk about tips for saving for vacation, how you can travel on a budget. So, you know, for those of you who maybe aren't super into points and miles, or maybe even if you are, but you want to also learn how to save and budget mm-hmm. for travel, then definitely follow her. It's at Poor in a Private Plane.
Yeah, she's a hilarious and a great follow. So I second that. And we will link her up. We'll link all of your things up in the show notes. Everybody can find them there. And we're just so happy to have you with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me. It was so much fun. I can't wait to be able to hang out in person in November.
Yes, it's going to be amazing.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast.
You can find me on Instagram at familytravelforthewin with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at pointstowonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.